turn with me, please, to the Song of Solomon and chapter 2. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2. As the Lord would help us this evening, we might consider together the words of the beloved, the bride, as we find them in verse 17. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, be thou like a roe and a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Till the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, be thou like a roe and a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Now the whole of Scripture is centered in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said to the Jews, search the Scriptures. For in them you think that you have eternal life. These are they which testify of me. The Scriptures testify of Jesus Christ. And he made it clear in his teaching to the disciples after the resurrection that both in the law and in the prophets and in the writings, the Christ, he himself, was spoken of. So the whole of Scripture finds its focus upon Jesus Christ. And that is true of this book also. It is a song of loves. It brings to us a man and a woman who are united in love and who are to be married. We're not to think of it merely on human terms. Yes, there is much you and I can learn for our own relationships as husband and wife and about marriage from this song. But above all, it is given to us to set forth the relationship between Christ and his church. Now, if you think of it, every relationship has its ups and downs. That's true in the relationship of a man and woman together. It's true, I suppose, even between children and parents and grandparents. It's not all plain sailing, all does not go well, there can be fallouts, there can be difficulties. Every relationship has its ups and downs. And we know that there's progress in every relationship. As you go on, you learn more, and certainly in marriage relationship, there's change through time, but there is that ongoing and deepening love. And just as we find that in everyday life, we find that in the experience of the Christian life also. It has a beginning, and it is a continuation. There is a coming to know Jesus as our Saviour. Friend, have you come to know him? Have you embraced him as your Saviour, and have you relied upon him as your Saviour? That's the beginning of a wonderful journey, you could say, that is ongoing. And there is a deepening knowledge of who he is and what he has done, and a deepening awareness of his love and of the demands that he makes of us, or the way in which we should respond to his grace in the gospel. The fact that he would save poor, ill-deserving sinners like us. As we go on, that should amaze us more and more. But we know there's ups and downs. You remember, Jesus wrote to the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2, but how they were in danger of having lost their first, well, they had lost something of their first love. Things had gone a bit cold. Things weren't as they should be. He tells them to sort things out, pretend to get back the way they should be. That can happen in human relationships. It happens with a relationship with Christ. Well, here is a believer, and in a song, as it portrays for us, man and woman, we have Christ, and he is betrothed, or the church betrothed, engaged Christ. Awaiting, longing for the marriage day to come. And as we look at his scripture, we find that conversion is described as being espoused, being engaged to Christ, coming into a relationship with him, and there is the hope of heaven, the marriage supper of the Lamb. So, the believer is one who is awaiting the marriage day, the return of Christ when he shall come again, to be with his people, and to take them to be with himself forever. While we're living now, at times Christ might appear far away, at other times he might appear near. And you get that pictured in this chapter. In verse 8, you have the voice of my beloved, says the church. I can hear him. He is coming leaping up on the mountains, skipping up on the hills. And as she looks out of the window through the lattice that is there, she sees this roar young heart, this young stag, that's the picture, and he is showing himself, and he's saying, come on, let's go out together, and let us be with one another, enjoy one another's company. There's times when the Lord draws near with his blessing. There's other times when he seems far away. And it seems that that's what we have by the end of the chapter. The church has thought of times of blessing when Christ is drawn near. She says, until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, turn my beloved, be thou like a roe, and a young hart, a young stag, upon the mountains of Deva. May that day come soon. When the marriage comes, but until that day come, give me a few visits, that we might enjoy one another's company. Let's then unpick this verse, and we notice two things. First of all, there is her future hope, and secondly, her present prayer. First of all, her future hope. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away. These words are pointing to this hope that she has. Something's going to happen that will be wonderful. The marriage. Well, notice this is a certain hope. Until the day break. Well, that word until suggests a fixed time. Until that time, turn my beloved. Well, that time's going to arrive then. There is a fixed time. And when you think of the dawn of the day, well, there is a fixed time when the dawn is going to come. We know roughly when it is, and those who do the calculations can tell you the sun will rise at a certain time, and it'll give you that for each day of the year, wherever you are in the world. Until it's going to happen. And yes, she might not be aware of when it will be. We don't know when the Lord's going to return again and bring the world as we know it to an end, and usher in the new heavens and new earth, where only righteousness will be found. And when the Lord will return to judge the world and condemn his enemies, we don't know when that will be, but it's known to the Father. He's appointed the day when Christ will judge the world in righteousness. It's fixed. And that means you and I must be ready for that day. Remember, Christ will return. We so readily get into the mindset of the people of this world who say, where is the promise of his coming? Everything's been the same since the beginning of the world. Life just goes on and on and on. And we forget all of a sudden it is going to happen. Christ will return and he will erect his court and judge the world. And the question for you, friend, is this. Are you ready to meet him? It will be a day of joy and gladness for those who love him. It will be a marriage day for them, as is brought out in our pages. He will return. Until the day dawn. Until the day break. That word until, perhaps it also suggests it's some way off. It's times when we wake up through the night, it's pitch black, it's dark, often perhaps a steam glow from the street lamp, and you think, it's the middle of the night still, must try and get some more sleep before it's dawn. Until there's no sign of the dawn. And so there's this request, because it's still far away, turn my beloved and give me a little visit. Let's remember that the Lord is coming, but, well, there are things to be done before he returns. He is busy. He is not negligent. We know that the Lord has spoken of the gospel advancing through the world. He has spoken of the Jews being brought back into the church and revival coming through them to the nations. It shall be, as it's put by Paul in Romans 11, as life from the dead to the church. So yes, there's a delay. But he's busy. There are things to be done. And we can still be full of hope and of expectation. He's coming. And I'm looking forward to that day. I know it's still a good way off because there are things to happen before he returns. But yet, I'm longing for that day. It may not be yet. Well, that's true. But by faith, we can see that actually is quite soon. Someone put it, it may appear far to love and longing that the young couple engaged, I think, well, there's still a period, there's still months, there's still a year, 2 years till we can actually set up home and be together as a couple. Well, that's the way it is to love and to long. But to faith and to hope, it seems to be soon. He is coming again. It's a certain hope. Let us be filled with this hope. We notice it's also a blessed hope. A blessed hope. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away. It's a picture of the dawn. Day breaks. The sun appears. Well, the dawn in the area of Palestine, for example, you find that there is a cool, refreshing breeze just at the dawn. The wind picks up. Perhaps the wind comes in off the sea, and in that hot climate, it's refreshing. Now, it's not often you and I experience that because our planet's different, but that's the way it is there. And you think of this blessing of the refreshing breeze. And then you think of the fact that, well, the light dispels the darkness. Think of a time when there were no street lights, when really you were confined to barracks, so long as it was night, unless there was a moon. There are nights when, if you go into the country and you're in an area where there's very little light pollution and there's no moon, you can hardly see a thing. It's darkness. What a difference when the light spells the dark. And so there's this picture of blessing. A blessing that refreshes and that dispels darkness. Well, is that not what the presence of Christ would be? When he returns, you, dear believer, you will see him no longer by faith, but by sight. You will not just get a glimpse of him, a momentary glimpse of him by faith, but you will be in his constant presence forever and enjoy being with the Lord. The difference between the couple who managed to steal the odd word, pass a message between one another, and from actually being together constantly. We're thankful that we'll get God's word after. It's a blessing that shows Christ to us. The scripture speaks of it as a shadow compared to what it will be like when Christ comes. We learn so much about God and about what Christ, who Christ is and what he has done. But friends, to be with Christ and to meet him, and to see him face to face, we will know so much more. We feel benefited when by faith we can share in the sacraments, but they are but shadows also. Even as we have it, that the word is like that shadow. You've got that in 2 Peter 1, that's why we read that. That light which is there till the day dawns, the day star arises. Well, so shall be with the sacraments as well. In the Lord's Supper, for example, we do show forth the Lord's death till he comes. We keep on doing this till he comes, and I will no longer be need of it, because he'll be present himself. It will no longer be a glimpse of him through a lattice or seeing a shadow where you only see the vague outline. The details suddenly are seen in all their glory when you can actually see clearly in the light of day. Doesn't it thrill you to think you shall know Christ more fully when he returns? You've got this hope of the blessing of understanding so much more clearly the truth of God. You know that he is God and man, two natures, in the one person forever, and you can see that you struggle at times to understand of the relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and so many aspects of God's character, we struggle to understand them. Well, we'll never understand the depths of it all, but to understand it more clearly, these things we stumble at and end up just saying, well, I'm not going to think any more about it because I'll just start getting muddled and confused. Then we shall understand it so much more clearly. We shall grasp that love of God that passes knowledge. And we shall be refreshed and praise God for his salvation. You know on a measure what it means to be saved. Because you know what it is to be a sinner under the condemnation of God and hell deserving. But then you'll see really what sin is, because you'll know much more about the holiness of God. You'll see the justice of God as it has been meted out on the ungodly. You will see them being consigned to a lost eternity, and you will praise God for his grace. You should be. Who made you different from them? The grace of God, it was nothing in you. And you will marvel that the Lord should have loved you and saved you and plucked you as a brand from the burning, and you'll thank God for his goodness. You'll appreciate it so much more. And you shall praise his name. That's the hope. It's a hope that all that is dark will be gone. No more sorrows. No more curse. No more death. No more trials. No more dangers. You know, we should be thankful that heaven is described, especially in the book of Revelation, as a place where there is no more of so many things which are negative. You have to put up with these things now. And God blesses these things to you now, but they're hard, they're difficult. There are trials and troubles. And dangers now, but none of that. No more sin. Can you imagine that? In a perfect form? So that you never sin and are like God in holiness himself, then you should be satisfied. So often now you're dissatisfied with yourself. I wish I could serve God better. I wish I could love him more. I wish I wasn't so easily drawn away into this temptation and that temptation. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We'll never say that again. I shall be satisfied when I appear in his likeness, is what the psalmist says. And yes, think of all that natural weakness that you have. God. No more tiredness. You get tired sometimes, even in church. When we're reading the Bible at home, we want to benefit, but we're just struggling. And we struggle to understand. Well, that will all be gone. And we will be capable of receiving more of Christ. The day will dawn. Suddenly. I don't know, suddenly, while you notice the shadows flee away. That's certainly true in some areas more than others. The nearer you are to the equator, the sudden change from night to day. Well, the shadows flee away. A sudden transformation. What a blessed one. And you'll notice it's all focused upon Christ. If your views of heaven are that it's just like here, that all this negative God, and that's just one big party, well, that just shows that you haven't a clue what the gospel is about. Because heaven is a holy place where the focus is in Christ. As Samuel Rutherford, the covenanter, could see, the Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's Lamb. He is the one who by his death has purchased and prepared heaven for his people. My father's house had many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you to myself. Did you hear that? To myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. Heaven is where he is. That's why God's people want to be. Because they want to be with him. Here then is the church's hope. the day will break, and shadows will fear. Further, the second way, a present prayer. A present prayer. Until the day break, and shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe and a young hart, a young stag upon the mountains of Egypt. What's her prayer? What should your prayer be tonight? Well, four things. First of all, a prayer for Christ's presence. A prayer for Christ's presence. Because it's as if he's far away. He is upon the mountains of Bether. The word Bether probably means division or separation. And probably the thought is of the mountains on the other side of the Jordan from most of Israel, mountains of Gilead. It's as if he's far away, over there. And the prayer is, turn. Be like the road. In other words, come and visit me often. Come and turn and return to me. Make thyself known to me. In other words, there's a wonderful future of being with Christ in heaven, but until then, come and visit me often. Why does he visit us? Well, when we're gathered like this, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Come and show something of your grace and your beauty. You think of a stag. If you've seen one of them move, how graceful they are, even look at their huge antlers, and yet how gracefully they can just leap over fences and bound up a hillside. No effort. How graceful. Well, show your beauty. Reveal your love to me often. As I read the scriptures, as I worship with God's people, and give me a consciousness of your presence. Help me. As I often need help, comfort me, direct me, guide me. Lord, turn and return to me. Well, isn't that something we often need? We should often pray the presence of Christ. But a second thing, Peter, that all obstacles to fellowship with Christ may be overcome. The mountains of Peter. Mountains of separation or division. Mountains which are craggy, which are difficult to cross, which mean that there's a division. You know, there are places where the mountains literally did cause division between people on either side, and they could hardly mix with one another. You think of even of Harrison Lewis, they're actually in one physical island, and if you talk of the Isle of Harris, Isle of Lewis, why? Because there's mountains in the middle and people would take boats to get around. That was how the Norman traveled. There were mountains divided, mountains of Peter. Well, the picture is, come over these mountains which are causing divisions, and swiftly come, like the roe, like the stag. In other words, yes, there are these obstacles to fellowship. But Lord, remove them. Now, the obstacles are on our side. He can grow cold, he can grow squeaky, spiritually. Let us pray that he would give us the spirit to arouse us, stir us up to seek him. And we know also that we can easily fall into sin, and sin is offensive to him. You think of how often we might see the wrong thing, or do the wrong thing, with regard to our loved ones, and we offend them. And until they get sorted out, the relationship isn't quite the same. That's why we're told, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, don't give place to the devil will get in there, cause problems, sort out problems, while as soon as you become aware of them. Well, you think of our sin. He died to cleanse us from our sin. Lord, remove those obstacles to fellowship. Help me to draw near. Help me to repent. Cleanse me from that sin. Forgive me and come. Think of the patience of Christ. How often he bears with you, despite your unfaithfulness. You see his love. He doesn't leave you. And you know, as you pray this prayer, turn my beloved. That in itself will help remove the obstacle of sin. Because it will have a sanctifying influence. It will help me to be holy. If you're longing for the presence of Christ, you'll be saying, well, I must try and avoid those things. Do that in our relationships with one another. Don't we do that with Christ as well? Help me to put away what will keep Christ from us. Here then is a prayer for his presence, and that all obstacles to fellowship may be overcome. Surely that should be our present prayer. But can we also see a third thing? That it's a prayer for a foretaste of heaven. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, until that glorious day come and visit me. Why? Because then I will be given a foretaste of heaven. It's about the young couple who perhaps have hardly seen one another, and then they're able to be together for a while, and they've got a bit of a foretaste of what it will be once they're married. Of course, it's not the same. They've got a bit of a foretaste of it. It's better than just having to write or to phone. You can be with one another. Well, Lord, give me a foretaste of heaven. Isn't it true when Christ is present, when we are conscious of his presence, as we feel him close, as we are found worshipping and reading his word and thinking of him? What happens then? We find that we enjoy peace with God. We find that we are filled with his love. We find that more and more we have a desire to die to sin and to live to the things of God, that the tinsel of the world, we see what it is. Mere tinsel and confetti and nothing compared to the solid things of God's word. We don't always see these things. When we get foretastes of heaven and enjoy fellowship with Christ, then we do get such a foretaste. It whets an appetite. We want it to continue. Lord, give me a foretaste of the blessings of heaven, fellowship with you. And then there's a fourth thing, surely, contained in the prayer. It's a prayer, surely, that Christ would actually come.
until the daybreak and the shadows clear away come. Well, coming was it often, but surely it seemed, look, I'm longing for that day when he actually will return. You see, if we're seeking his presence and then given a foretaste of heaven, that will only make us long for the day when he does return. And it's a bit like the church in Revelation 22, where we find the Lord saying, behold, I come quickly. What's the church's response? Even so, Lord Jesus. Because the more we have Christ present, the more we will long for him to be permanently present. So friends, should this not be our daily prayer? Should we not make this our daily prayer? Until the day break and the shadows clear, we turn, my beloved, be thou like a rod, a young heart upon the mountains of God. And as we bow to the Lord Jesus and see him for who he is, it will encourage us to plead this prayer. And we will have a well-grounded plea to me, an experience of his blessing and his promise to us to be our God and Savior. And you know, as we pray this prayer, it will help keep us bright and alive. It will help keep us as we should be. It will make us more glorifying to God. Let's remember that the return of Christ is only a blessing for those who actually have entered into a marriage covenant with Christ. In other words, it's important for you to make sure that you actually have Christ as your Savior. The second coming for the church is a day of blessing, it's like a marriage. But it will be a day of judgment and condemnation for those that God finds still in their sin without the Savior. What a fearful thing that is. Make sure that you do not go on without Christ as your own Savior. Remember, you only have a right to the hope of heaven through Christ. He is going to return. Will he meet you as one who trusts him? Or will he meet you as one who is a controversy with him, whom he comes to judge you today because of your sin? Make sure your sin is dead through Christ and that you are trusting in him as your own Savior and following him. Let us pray. Our Lord and God, we seek thy blessing. We ask that thou wouldst help us to rejoice in the glorious hope that there is in the gospel. We know that we shall all die. We were thinking of that this morning. Oh, how important it is to embrace the hope of heaven through Jesus Christ and the right and time to it through faith in God. That we might often be found longing for him. May we all be found having a right and title to you through faith in Jesus Christ. Bless thy truth. Accept our worship.